Now, remember when we'd be glued to Top of the Pops to see who made it to the Christmas number one? With the results of this year's race to be announced tomorrow, not as much excitement as there used to be. But there is a race on, and it's between Last Christmas by Wham, 40 years after it was released, and Tom Grennan's It Can't Be Christmas. This is a new one on me, but that song was commissioned by Amazon Music, and it's exclusive to the company's streaming platform. When we saw that story, we said we have to find out more about this and the economics of writing a Christmas hit. So we invited in Irish independent journalist John Marr to have a sort of a critical look at Christmas number ones. Good afternoon, John.
Afternoon, Ray.
So is this the first year that Amazon Music have commissioned Christmas songs?
No, they had one last year as well.
Right.
And the key here is Amazon Music lags way behind Spotify and Apple Music and Tencent, which is a huge Chinese streaming service. So they're keen to kind of get brand share. How can you do it? Well, let's try and create exclusivity, particularly around Christmas songs. And traditionally, there was such excitement around Christmas singles. Not so much now, but I think they have a very good chance this year.
Yeah, because let people hear. Will we play it for them? This is Tom Grennan, and this is the one that you can exclusively get on Amazon Music. It's called It Can't Be Christmas. There's a lot going on in that song, isn't there?
There is, in fairness to the producers. They've really put in some Christmas features there. Actually, there's a... He did a version of that song with Ali Sherlock on Grafton Street. Now, supposedly he was walking down the street while she was singing it and they sang it together. I mean, the cynic in me thinks this was all staged, but actually it works quite well. And there are versions, studio, quote unquote, studio versions of that song together. Those two are available on YouTube to listen to, and it's quite good. I think it has a chance. Wham last year finally got to number one with Last Christmas. A little bit of trivia on that. 39 years it took to get to number one. It was denied by Band Aid in 1984. It was, up to that point, the best-selling song in British chart history never to reach number one.
So it
finally did it. And it could do it again a second year in a row.
It will be odd, though, if a track that's exclusive to one streamer hits the Christmas number one. That it will be odd. Give us a bit of a history about the Christmas number one and its importance and why it isn't as important as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 49, and when I was a kid, this was such a huge deal. Like, even before I was born, 73, you'd Slade and Wizard going for number one.
Was that the same year, was it?
It was the same year.
Right.
And extraordinarily, Wizard only reached number four, and yet that song is one of the most celebrated of the entire 1970s.
So that only reached number four in
1973. Only number four, and a massive seller because at the time single sales were just so enormous, and there was huge excitement that year, particularly around Christmas number ones. And it developed for most of the 1970s and most of the 1980s. There was a huge amount of talk about what will be the number one this year. Sometimes it wasn't a Christmas themed song at all. But at the time, for that 20 odd year period, single sales were enormous. People could get very rich in royalties.
And there was a couple of novelty ones as well. Rene Nonato.
Yes.
Save Your Love was a Christmas number one, as was Winifred's Choir. With Grandma.
Novelty hits are by no means a new thing. They existed back then. And the thing was, compared to today, physical sales were huge. And those novelty hits sold by the bucketful, by the chuckful even.
And people, I love this story, Fairy Tale New York, because in a lot of people's opinion, it's the best Christmas song ever recorded. And yet it was kept off the number one slot by a non-Christmas song.
It was Pet Shop Boys, Always On My Mind, which is a fantastic tune. It has to be said, I absolutely adore that band, but very little that's seasonal about it. Having said that, when it comes to royalties, it's Fairy Tale that absolutely slams.
We're going to get to royalties in a moment. Before we get to them, will you just give us your opinion as why the number one in the UK, Christmas number one, isn't as important as it used to be? What has happened over the years?
There are loads of reasons. One is physical sales aren't a fraction of what they are, and for both albums and singles, they're just a huge decline. And I think as well, streaming helped, while it helped democratize music and our consumption of it, it possibly didn't make it as essential as it was. And the notion of going out and physically having something is still important to a small band of people today. As any musician will tell me, they're important people. There aren't enough of them. There aren't as many as there were. And then you've things like X Factor that kind of totally destroyed the idea of the kind of Christmas song.
Because they were on the telly up until Christmas. They're automatically going to be a Christmas number one.
Absolutely.
And then it was a Rage Against the Machine.
There was an attempt, I suppose, a viral attempt in the early stages of social media to play Simon Cowell at his own game.
Of course, back in the day, it was the singles of the day against the singles of the day. But now, as we've pointed out already, you have this song that's only available on Amazon Music up against the song that was released 40 years ago.
Because it's an unusual component.
Everything's available to everybody.
Every single thing is available.
Okay, now the cash. People are fascinated by this, and so am I. The royalties, because remember that movie about the boy and wasn't it Hugh Grant's character had inherited the royalties to his dad's
Christmas
hit. That's right,
and he had a very nice lifestyle as a result, and he didn't really do anything other than live off that.
So do you want to do the 5-1 then?
There's always a bit of contention about this, but at number 5 you've got Band Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas, 1984.
Now at number 4,
Wham's Last Christmas.
At number 3,
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Where's Mariah gone? She's gone. She's gone.
Give us a blast, Ray.
She's Scarford. No, she's Scarford. She's not there. Okay, number 2,
Pogue's Fairy Tale of New York.
So, how much is that getting a year?
560,000 euro,
right.
Allegedly.
560,000.
Which is a lot of cash.
Right. Last Christmas, 445,000. Mariah Carey, 530,000. She needs the money. But at number one,
all the way back from 1973, Merry Xmas, everybody, from Slade.
How much?
745,000 euro.
A year.
A year.
Mundy, when are you going to write a Christmas hit?
During the summer, if I get away.
I'm thinking of writing one with Mundy, actually, because that kind of money is just...
It's hard to create a Christmas classic these days.
It's very hard. Yeah. It's very hard because, again, with these songs, there's the weight of history behind them as well. Mm. There's such nostalgia when you think back to that. And one could actually argue, I know Mariah wasn't playing ball there for us, but one could argue that perhaps that was the last time a new Christmas song became a classic and hit the zeitgeist and where everybody knows it straight away. And it's really challenging. All kinds of big bands. The most successful band of the 21st century is Coldplay. Love or loathe them. And they tried to write a Christmas song that wasn't too bad, actually. People don't really remember it. So it's a really tough ask. And I have to say, in fairness to Tom Grennan, like, he really has tried, with the help of Amazon, to create a song that feels Christmassy. I think he's managed it.
Okay.
It's quite naff in a way, but...
We'll know tomorrow if Tom Grennan...
4 p.m. tomorrow.
...beats Wham to this year's Christmas number one. John Maher, thanks so much. There we are, because Mundy's behind you, and then when he's finished, you can go off and write the song together, and we'll just take 5% of proceeds.
Yeah, why not?
Is that okay? That's okay, because it happens.
Any commission is a good commission.
Now, you do this most years for us,
for
so
you,
thanks for this.
For you, right. Yes. Yeah. I spend all year trying to forget it.
You're right.
I have to learn. But you know what? Tit for tat.
Right, a 2.5 minute version of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Now it's Christmas. Mundy, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Good luck with the tour and the ferry and the bus, and thanks for coming in. And December 30th in Whelan's.
That's it. Happy Christmas to you, right?
Happy Christmas, Mundy. Just, John, for you, you can take this away with you. An acquaintance of mine played on a popular Christmas song for which he receives 1 penny sterling royalty every radio play. He gets a cheque for 3,000 to 4,000 a year every March.
Not bad if you can get
That's nice. Thanks, John Maher. That's it from us. Sarah's on Drive Time on her own. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.